Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Of course, I want you to holler at me. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're feeling me, you can go ahead on and bust me down the email, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Your questions, comments, concerns are always important to me. You guys know y'all crack me up, so I love hearing from you. Also, if you ghost listening, jump into the chat room. I want to hear from you. And social networking. I've got the Smooth Drama Facebook page. You can add me on Facebook. I mean, add me on Twitter, follow me on Twitter. Just Google Smooth Drama. And if you you find me, add me. I will talk to you. I'm that kind of guy. Tonight, we're going to have a special 90-minute show because I am going to be out of town. I will be in Seattle, Washington for the Emerald City Comic Con. If you're listening or you're in the Seattle area, feel free to stop by and holler at us, National Press Comics. We are in booth 108, and we, of course, want to sell you a whole lot of comic books. If you come talk to us and you don't want to buy a book, we might cut you. Maybe not cut you, but we'd be disappointed. Anyway, if you're in the Seattle area, you're going to be at the Emerald City Comic Book Convention. Come holler at your boy, booth 108. In the meantime, I hadn't done this in a while. And since I'm having a long night, might as well bust it out. The things that, I won't say crazy people do, but the things that are crazy. Now, y'all know, I like talking about this Guinness Book of World Record, these holders, and they're some of the most obscure records ever. Apparently, last week on an Italian TV show, Adrian Irene Macias Hernandez from Guadalajara, Mexico, broke the lighting the most birthday candles in 1 minute record. Only thing is, the record was for using your feet. She apparently lit 11 candles in 60 seconds. The previous record was 7. Why am I talking about this? I have no idea. But I figured if you wanted some useless knowledge, you wanted to know something that was going on in the world that was totally unimportant. Bam. I just dropped it on you. You now have a Guinness Book World Record for lighting the most birthday candles in 1 minute just using their feet at 11 in 1 minute. Top it. And if you're going to try and top it, please send me the video at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. I would love to see it and talk about it. Because I don't think I've ever known, and I've interviewed a lot of folks, and talk to a lot of folks, I've never spoken to somebody who actually tried to break a Guinness Book world record. And I've never know, seen anybody who, or known anyone who is a record holder. So if you're trying to break it, please holler at me. Smoothdrama at smoothdrama.com, or just call in. I want to ask you why you want to do it. I've always been curious about that. You know it's crazy. I won't call you crazy. I would just think you're crazy. Those are two totally different things. I won't call you crazy on the air. I'm a nice guy like that. But speaking of crazy things, something I shared on my page, Smooth Drama, the Iron Crotch Kung Fu Master. Now, if you don't know what an Iron Crotch Kung Fu Master is, it is a guy, Master Wei, and he's considered one of the world's best practitioners of Iron Crotch Kung Fu. What the hell is Iron Crotch Kung Fu, you may ask? Well, it's a form of martial arts. I'll say it in, I use their words. A relatively obscure form of martial arts in which combatants learn to build strength and endurance by subjecting themselves to strong blows in the groin area. Yeah, my balls are hurting just talking about this. Master Wei says, I have learned this kung fu skill since I turned 67 years old. I think it's good for my health. And he's got a video where he's hitting himself in the balls with a brick repeatedly. And then there's another video where a guy is kicking him in the balls. Now, take note. He said that he started at 67. So he ain't trying to have no kids or nothing. You know, pretty much your balls are useless at that point. But I'm just like, I don't know, because I'm like, you can like tickle my balls too hard and it's like I'm done. And this dude, I mean, if you haven't seen the video, please look up Kung Fu Master with Iron Crotch. It is a real person who apparently there are people who practice getting hit on the balls, in the balls, on purpose. On purpose. Now, the thing he says, and Master Wei's been doing it for 10 years, he says, I insist on doing it every day. I believe it builds up resistance, and I have gotten less fever and colds than before. He also says it helps men overcome issues like erectile dysfunction and premature ejaculation. Now, there's no scientific evidence to back it up, but he says that's how it is. He's got less fever and colds, and his dick gets hard and stays hard, and it stays hard for a while. No premature ejaculation. Yeah. Why am I still talking about this? It's like I actually got some grip pliers and put my own balls into the grip pliers and started squeezing. That's what talking about this is like. Whew. Anyway, now, you know, we've been talking about, and it's been a big deal. about transgender, you know, bathrooms, whatnot, going to the bathroom, whatever. Well, as a transgender girl wrestler, Mac Beggs, who's competing, well, competed in the Texas Girl State Championship, Wrestling Championship. Now, Beggs is a female who identifies as a boy. Now, the situation is, Mac Beggs is taking steroids and drugs, testosterone, and is on the internet, social media, talking about their testosterone. You know, Mac Beggs wants to identify as a boy, but is wrestling as a girl. And, you know, pinning girls, you know, you're on the steroids, you're in your transition. And see, this is where you have problems, because you have a girl who is, in all, for all intents and purposes, being a boy and taking steroids so that they can be like a boy. And these wrestling girls, and, you know, pin, you're extra strong on steroids, whatnot. And, you know, there are different parents that are like, no, nah, this is unfair. And and I'm like, hello. Now, you want to be a boy, but you're not going to wrestle as a boy? I mean, am I missing something here? You want to identify as a boy. Probably want to go into the men's bathroom. Okay. But you're wrestling as a girl. I mean, is that crazy? Am I the only one that sees how crazy and hypocritical that is? If you want to identify as a boy and you want to do everything that boys do, wrestle as a boy. Period, point blank. You can't have it both ways. There's something wrong with that when you're doing it both ways. You're a girl who wants to identify as a boy. You're taking the drugs, whatnot. You're a boy. Wrestle with boys. Period, point blank. It's fair to me. It's unfair that you would be wrestling with girls. I mean, because if that's the case, then we're gonna have it's gonna come where there's gonna be a guy who's gonna identify as a girl, and so do they get to play high school basketball as a girl? I have titties. I'm a boy. I mean, people don't see it coming. They'll say, oh, you're being homophobic or transphobic. I'm guessing that's what it'll be called now. You're being transphobic. But I'm like, well, I mean, if it happens, then what? Because pretty much in my life, it is very unimportant whether you're trans, gay, whatever. I don't know you, and even if I did know you, it still wouldn't be important in my life. But the fact that you would put yourself in the girls' tournament and be wrestling girls when you want to identify as a boy, I'm like, that is hypocrisy at its finest. And Mac Beggs and the adults who are pushing Mac Beggs to do this, there's a serious problem there. Serious problem. I mean, I'm just saying, if people don't see the problem, you're transitioning. You hell bent in assistant. I mean, because we know that's the argument, right? I'm a boy. Recognize me as a boy, except for when I want to compete in something, then I'm a girl. Yeah. That just happened. Shake and bake. You know, it's real shitty. Sort of like Sonic Rabbit Hole, which is the name of a band whose singer Michael Clemens and an unidentified partner decided an on-stage enema would be perfect statement against the venue, because they had issues in the past with the venue, and they wanted to set it off. So, Sonic Rabbit Hole had an enema. So during the performance, during the performance, Clemens took a bag filled with a protein shake, pulled down his pants, and with the help of his bandmate, had shot it into his ass on stage. And just explain it to the crowd. We're going to do an endurance piece. I'd have the enema do some light calisthenics and see how long I last before I had to go and then run to the bathroom. Apparently, both the bag and the hose leaked, causing the contents to spill onto the stage. But the avant-garde owner, Mariana Limassoff, says, nah, that wasn't no protein shake on the stage. That was doo-doo. Apparently, the bartender was throwing up behind the bar. Because they doo-doo on the stage. I mean, I'm not getting racial. I refuse to get racial because I'm on the things that crazy people do, right? When you decide I'm going to give myself an enema on stage, I'm going to get a protein bag and I'm going to squish it into my butt cheek. My open butt, I'm going to insert it and squish it into my butt cheeks and just dance around and see how long I can hold it before, bam. I'm sorry. It's funny, but it's only funny because me and you listeners out there, we weren't there. Because I'm guessing if we were there, it was probably the most horrific thing that you will ever have witnessed in your life. You're watching your performer on stage, y'all grooving, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, we about to do this enema, right? We about to show y'all what's really real. No. That's just not a good idea. And if you thought it was a good idea, hey, more power to you. Good luck. And on that note, I think I need to go on break. It's a Tribe Called Quest. Excursion.
in the days when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager. You can find the abstract listening to hip hop. My pops used to say it reminded him of bebop. My double daddy, don't you know that things go in cycles? Way the Bobby Brown is just amper like Michael. It's all expected, things are overlooking. If you got the money, questions for the booking. Come on, everybody, let's get with the Bravo. Still got room on the truckload of black folks. Listen to the rhyme and get a mental picture of the black man, the black woman's picture. Why do I say that? Cause I gotta speak the truth, man. Doing what we feel for the music is the truth. And planet on the ground, the actors go together. Going to fight strong, you need leverage to sever. The unit, yes, the unit, yes, the unit called the Jazzers. Delivering each year, LP, so with speakers. You can find it on your rack and your record store. If you get the record, then your thoughts are adored and appreciated. Cause we're ever so glad we made it. We worked hard, so we gotta thank God. Bitching out the plastic, do the dance, see it's plastic. If you did, it gets drastic. Listen to the rhyme, cause it's time to make crazy. If the mood's your booty, then shake, shake it, baby. All the way to Africa, aka the motherland. Pick out the left, then I'll act for the other hand. That's the right hand, black man. Only if you are noted as my man. If I get the credit, then I think I deserve it. If you fake news, don't put your mouth to word it. Get in the zone of positivity, not negativity. Cause we gotta strive for longevity. If you watch up within that, a pair of Nike size 10 and a half.
Is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Special 90-minute show tonight because, as I said, I will be out of town in Seattle, Washington at a comic book convention, the Emerald City Comic Con. So if you're in the Seattle area, I'll let you, boy, come through booth 108. Say I listen to your show at Smooth Drama, and I will wave to you and act like I know you. Nah, I mean, we got all kinds of special stuff. We've got National Press Comics pins. We actually got our new Blackjack shirts, and we got patches. So if you come through to the booth, I might could hook you up with a little something. But you have to buy all our comic books first. That's all. I'm going home now. Nah, I'm just playing. Anyway, for those of you who don't know or remember, remember that, what's her name? The Rachel Dolezal, former NAACP branch president, who lied about being black. She identified as black. Well, to all those people that was dissing her, guess what? She is now jobless, living on food stamps, and she's looking at losing her home next month. And we just gonna use her words, because I'm not gonna use my words on her. We're gonna let her words speak for her. There's no protected class for me. I'm this generic, ambiguous scapegoat for white people to call me a race traitor and take out their hostility on. And I'm a target for anger and pain about white people from the black community. It's like I am the worst of all these worlds. She said she's applied for over 100 jobs and has received no offers, not even from a supermarket. She has, however, been offered work in porn and reality TV. If I got offered work in reality TV, I would take it over being unemployed. Am I missing something? I don't know about the porn, because the whole, I don't know if I got enough to entice the masses. Reality TV, I'm like, it's a job. If it's going to keep you in the house, why not? It makes sense. But she goes on to say, I do think a more complex label would be helpful, but we don't really have that vocabulary. I feel like the idea of being trans black would be much more accurate than I'm white, because I'm not white, he says. It wasn't like the honest thing to do is say I'm white, because race is a social construct. And this gave me this great sense of internal freedom. I wasn't actually all fucked up. I was actually onto something this whole time. Yep. I can tell you what she was on. Whole lot of drugs. But no. I mean, she's trans black. I haven't heard that one before. I mean, is that like that wrestler Mac Beggs that I was talking about in the first segment that you're transitioning? I mean, do you take something to turn black, or I mean, is it enough just because, well, I've had black men all in me, on me? Is that, and she, gets her hair twisted up, whatnot. Because it is, you want to say conundrum? I don't know the words that you could say for a mixed up individual like Miss Dolezal here. Dolezal something. Rachel. We just gonna stick at Rachel. I mean, yeah. race is a social construct, no doubt. And you know, she's identifying as black, and she is living the black experience, being jobless, living on food stamp, and you know, supposedly she might lose her house, which is basically her dry begging, like, hey, hook me up. I mean, isn't that why people make these announcements? They dry begging so that you can pay, because she's like, I'm going to lose, I expect to lose my house next month. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, the former NAACP branch president Rachel, we have to help her. We have to help save her house. And so they're saving her house. But really? Should we be saving her house? I don't know, man. But that's dry begging. This is the epitome of dry begging. I'll be curious to see who's nice enough to hook her up. I mean, she got offered porn jobs in reality TV. Those are jobs. Now, I can tell you that if I got a choice between being homeless and doing what I got to do, hey, I'm like, pass the Viagra and, hey, pass that lube. I'm just saying. We're talking about you can't live. I mean, because I don't know if I was trying to coon and be trans white. Because, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Maybe David Clark will come out from Milwaukee. He'll come out the closet and say, I'm trans white. Just bust out with the, I've got something I need to tell everyone. When I'm not thinking of shooting black people, I'm thinking about my trans whiteness. I'm black on the outside, but on the inside, I'm white. I'm really, really white. I identify with Caucasian people and the Caucasian power structures that look at people like myself on the outside as inferior beings. That's why I switched, because I no longer want to be an inferior being. Wouldn't that be close to what he'd be saying? Something to that effect. It just boggles my mind. Anyway, Rachel, trans black. Now we got to find somebody trans white. We got to find a black person that's trans white. And I know there will be some people who will be beyond upset, right? Like, wait, why trans white? Because Rachel is trans black. You have this black dude, super coon, saying I'm trans white. I should be let into the Klan. Yeah. And that's where the fairness ends right there. Because you can't join racist groups under the guise of we're going to force you because I'm trans and the laws. And nobody would ride for that. We make people who have sex with whoever as heroes. But somebody who be trying to fight against social injustice, they are not heroes. They are troublemakers. It's an interesting dynamic we have there. You are not a hero if you fight for justice. But if you fight for ass or eating the booty like groceries, you are a hero. Oh, you don't have to be homosexual to eat the booty like groceries. I'm just saying. Either you're eating the booty like groceries or you're like hitting it because you, anyway, I'm, I've gone too far. Now, not only are we talking about Rachel, we're on the hater of the week. Cause I'm changing it up. I'm talking about the hater of the week as opposed to the dumbass of the week. Hater of the week is these students who had the nerve to form a swastika. It's like, really? They form a swastika to just because they wanted to. A human swastika at that is like, and they're of course from my favorite state, and I don't get to talk about my favorite state. Maybe I haven't been focusing on it enough, so I have to go back and make that happen. Sale High School. Four students, Sale High School, Florida. They laid down and formed the human swastika in the field on the school's campus. And of course, there was a concerned parent who met with the principal to discuss what was going to happen. The parent, who of course asked to have their identity withheld to protect his child, said they learned about the incident from their child last week, and because of the mysterious recent uptick in incidents of anti-Semitism and hate in America for some strange reason, they made it a big deal, and so they suspended the kids, and you know, they assured them that there was going to be strict disciplinary actions taken. Now, for me, it's funny. You're talking about you're in high school forming swastikas. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. One, you take the time to form. I mean, because this means you're practicing it, right? You're practicing. You and your homies laying down in the form of a swastika. That is extra special on the stupid tip. I mean, I guess for them it was funny. But hateful at the same time, because you like trying to scare folks. And this is why I say, hey, you know, the people who are against the Second Amendment right now, if you're a member of the group, well, groups that are being hated on, not like you haven't been hated on all your life, but see. I put this era like the 50s. Skinny jeans is like those R&B outfits that people used to wear back in the days where they had the high tops and they were really, really tight. People think that this skinny jean stuff is new. It's not. It's kind of old. And the racism was out front. And people put their hate out. I mean, because this generation hadn't known anything about straight up racism, not subliminal racism. not your casual racism, or as they call it in the Justice Department, one-off racism. Nah, straight up, you know what? We just hate you. We've hated you all our lives, but we tolerate you because you sing and dance and you entertain us. And I might want to move off beat to the rhythm of your song. And so you see these incidents. The four students at Sail High are a microcosm of what's going on. You have folks that's just out here, and they're comfortable saying, "Hey, we hate you. We hate everything about you, and we look forward to the time where we can act on our hate," which is what they're doing, technically speaking. Or you have people who are, they have no shame in telling you how much they hate you. And I find it refreshing. Me and a few other cats I've talked to are like, yeah, well, this is what it is. Now, on the surface, we say, oh, it's very disappointing that you have this kind of racism that happens. At the same time, I'd say, hey, take some self-defense courses. Make sure that you have a gun with plenty of bullets, too. That's all I got. Because Kumbaya, no offense, people who love Kumbaya, but Kumbaya and peaceful measures, nonviolent peaceful measures, peace talks, that stuff, it just doesn't work. And it's not looking like the era of peace is coming. I know folks, oh, nonviolent, but that's not how it's looking. Because these folks ain't about talking. They are not about talking at all. But hey, you know, sometimes you just, maybe sometimes you can get lucky. Sort of like the white man and the white woman, my two dumb asses of the week. And even though this is something that happened last year, they were sentenced this week. So I've come to that part of the show where I did it backwards. I started off with the hater, but now I'm going into the dumb ass. Always got to get that last one in. Jose Ismael Torres. Yes, I said it. Jose Ismael Torres and Kayla Ray Norton, 26 and 25. They were part of a group of 15 people who disrupted an 8-year-old's party in Douglasville, Georgia. And what they did is they came in with a bunch of Confederate flags, and I guess they were threatening to kill little kids, the adults and the kids. And at one point, Ismael Torres aimed a shotgun at the party. Mr. Torres was sentenced to 13 years in prison. Norton, the decidedly lighter Norton, received 6 years. They were among four people in the group charged with felonies, and the other two pleaded guilty and are serving shorter sentences. Torres and Norton, they're in the video crying, though. They're in the pictures and video. They're crying. I'm going to jail. mean, Jose Ishmael Torres, Supreme Dumbass of the Week. he got the most years, and he is the dude that is stuck in the Supreme conundrum. I mean, because, you know, the word is people all over the world join him on the love train. Love train. Only his love train is, you know, it's not going to be that nice. His love train is, it's going to be kind of awful, right? Because it's not the kind of train that people go for. You know, this love train that Jose Ishmael Torres, I mean, he's apparently not of Caucasian descent. Most Jose Ishmael Torres aren't. But he's waving the Confederate flag and shotguns and threatening black people. So automatically he goes into the pen with the hate of black people in jail. That's just bullseye, number one. Two, he is not of Caucasian descent. So I will take it that the people of Caucasian descent, white supremacists, whatnot, will probably not be quite as receptive to the young man. Third, the people of Mexican descent are like, Holmes, you were waving the Confederate flag. You can't roll with us. So I'm guessing that love train, it's going to be long and hard that first night. And because they got him, I think they got him sentenced yesterday. When he went into jail, woo! I'm guessing either last night or tonight is that night to be remembered. Like, hot damn, he's here. He might, and I'm speculating, he might bring the people in jail together. Anyway, I'm going on break. You know, bringing them together. Like, everybody come together as one to rape him. Break time. Outcast. It's him and I. Aquim and I.
Yeah.
Even the sun goes down, heroes eventually die. Horoscopes often lie, and sometimes why? Nothing is the show, nothing is the burden. Nothing lasts forever, but until they close the curtain. It's him and I, a swim and I.
Fight these, they get on the bus. Go get your work and keep your beef for chirping. It's a must. You want that duck, cornstarch, familiar with that smack, man. The music is like that green stuff. About to see by Sack Man. Pac-Man, how the fuck you think we gon' do that, man? Ride on National 18, try no gap, man. I'm Scrap Man. Get rid of the bus on anything like that, man. Me and my nigga, we roll together like Batman and Rob Band. You crazy, cause through hard times, going hard when it was fitting. But now we tapping the brakes from off the corners that we be bending. And Volkswagen and Bonneville, Chevrolet's and Superville. If you ain't got no rims, nigga, don't get no wood grain steel wheel. For real, you can go chill out and see a meal. That's the paper stack instead of going to Old Key and pay your fucking people bills.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even the sun goes down, heroes eventually die. Horoscopes often lie, sometimes why. Nothing is for show, nothing is for certain. doesn't last forever, but until they close the curtain, it's him and I, or Quim and I.
Twice upon a time, there was a boy who died and lived happily ever after. But that's another chapter. Live from home of the brave, with $30, beauty parlors, baby ballers, bowling ball and parlors, street scholars, majoring in culinary arts. You know how to work bread, cheese, and dough from scratch. But see the catches, you can't get caught. Know what you're selling, what you're about, so cut that big talk. Let's walk to the bridge, meet me halfway. Now you may see some chilling dead off in the pathway. Simple babies walking slowly to the candy lady. It's looking bad, need some hope like the words maybe. Yeah, well probably, more than a hobby. When my turntables get wobbly, they don't fall. I'm sorry y'all, I often drift. I'm talking gifts, so when it comes, you never look the horse inside its grill. Of course you know I feel like the bearer of bad news. Don't wanna be it, but it's needed. So what have you, that question. Is every nigga with dreads for the call? Is every nigga with gold for the fall? No, so don't get caught up in appearance. It's outcast Quim and I, another black experience.
Okay. Even the sun goes down, heroes eventually die. Horoscopes often lie and sometimes why. Nothing is for show, nothing is for certain. Nothing lasts forever but until they close the curtain. It's him and I, or Quim and I.
Big boy, daddy fat facts, a nigga that like them Cadillac. I stay down with these streets, cause these streets is where my folks at. Better know that, I say we so black, but we professional. We missed a lot of the church, so the music is our confession. Get off the desk with the nut sack. You bust around, we bust back. Get back, for real niggas that's out here trying to spit back. You hear that, you can't come near that. Maybe you need to quit, quit. Cause the criminal eyes are queries, and the Gemini running shit like this.
My mind walks in bands, ropes to win, count to ten. Meet the twin, Andre Ben, welcome to the lion's den. A rich and no sin, many men comprehend. I get extend myself, so you go out and tell a friend. Sin all depends on what you believe in. Faith is what you make it, that's the hardest shit to simply win. Alien can blend right on in with the kin. Look again, cause I swear I spot one every now and then. It's happening again, wish I could tell you when. Andre, this is Andre, y'all is just gonna have to make amends.
Even the sun goes down, heroes eventually die. Horoscopes often lie, and sometimes cry. Nothing is for sure, nothing is for certain. Nothing lasts forever, but until they close the curtain, it's him and I, or Quim and I.
Together you got the smooth drummer.
Back to Smooth Drum with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Outkast, Quim and I. 347-826-7435 is the call in number. Once again, 347-826-7435 is the call in number. Welcome to the special hour and a half long Smooth Drama. As I said earlier, I will be out of town going to Emerald City Comic Con. So if you're going to be in the Seattle area and you're brave enough to get out there in that cold, come holler at a brother. Booth 108, we're going to be there shining, looking like Eskimo, because I'm packing my big coat. I don't care how silly I look to them people. I'm going to be warm, even if I'm in the convention sweating. It's going to be for a good cause, my warmth. And speaking of warmth, you know, we can't go without Groundhog Day. When the groundhog comes up, and every year, a bunch of stupid people follow this animal, and he tells them, hey, it's going to be cold 6 more months. Or, hey, it's going to warm up. Only our Groundhog Day here at Smooth Drama is like the Bill Murray movie Groundhog Day, where the same thing happens day after day after day. Ad nauseum, super tedious, and amazing tedium. So I can use the same word twice. It's like I'm a rapper, only it didn't rhyme. So I'm rolling. Anyway, the point is, same thing happens again and again and again, which is the American way. Groundhog Day. Racism. Things that oppress people. It's a daily operation. That never changes. Wake up tomorrow, it'll be the exact same thing as today. There will be no changes. There'll be some lip gloss, but your lips will still be chapped and cracked. Case in point, Attorney General Jeff Sessions holds a meeting with the heads of federal law enforcement components, meaning the nation's police. Came out and said today, the Justice Department will limit its use of tactic employed aggressively under President Obama, suing the police departments for violating the civil rights of minorities. Let me use his words. We need so far as we can to help police departments get better, not diminish their effectiveness. I'm afraid we've done some of that. So we're going to try to pull back on this. He said, such a move would not be wrong or insensitive to civil rights or human rights. Instead, he said, people in poor minority communities must feel free from the threat of violent crime, which will require more effective policing with help from the federal government. Because, yeah. Yeah. Think about that. We're going to pull back, and we're not going to sue police departments for violating the civil rights of minorities, because that is hindering the police from doing their job, which is violating the civil rights of so-called minorities. So they're going to pull back on it like, shit, we was like giving y'all, not that they were giving us a fair chance, like things were equal. But it's like we were like giving y'all a chance. We were like being nice to y'all, allowing some of y'all to sue and get money. Now we just gonna go back to letting the police beat you and saying, hey, that's messed up. That shouldn't happen. Groundhog Day. Just in case you didn't know, and this is definitely one of those watermark points in history for the youngsters in this generation who everything was cool for them. Now, I'm being disingenuous by saying that everything was cool for them, but I think I would be remiss if I didn't say, hey, now they understand, well, we'll begin to understand what true racism is, not that racism that we have been associated with, subliminal, just low-key. You would say some things that could be interpreted as racist, but not all the way. No more of that. We just coming out. Whatever it was that was helping y'all from appealing Obamacare and cheap, affordable. Yeah, we gonna repeal that and replace it with something else. It's gonna be better. Cause affordable medical care, you can just, hey, come on, let's get rid of that and just do something better. Hey, you want us to help fix the police? Well, hey, we're going to stop hindering them. We're going to stop them from making them be accountable. We just let them get back to what they do best, beating y'all and killing y'all. We just not going to sue them no more so they can do their jobs more effectively. And we're going to help them. As you know, there's nothing like the help from the federal government. That goes a long way, right? We know how much we trust the government and how they have the regular thousandaires' backs. This is Groundhog Day. This is what it is. Now, see, Groundhog Day is not just a racial social component. Because I'd be remiss also if I did not point out that there are other ways that you can be racist. Stick it to the thousandaires. PG&E, with their rate increase, surcharge billing changes on your next PG&E bill. So if you're in the Bay Area in particular, but this is a change that's starting tomorrow throughout Northern and Central California. And their thing is, they're saying, in an effort to simplify rate structures and promote energy conservation, we're going to raise your bill. The billing system will reduce from 3 to 2 tiers, and a high usage surcharge will be introduced also, which will encourage energy conservation. It's funny. Now, also, all the residential customers will be seeing a 2.1% increase in that part of their bills. Now, PG&E are saying, hey, even with this increase, you're going to be below the national average, according to recent data that they did not show. But they say that that's what it is. Now, why do I bring this up? Because they say the current rate structure is outdated, complex, and confusing for customers. I don't know. I just look at it like, oh, you charge me every other month an insane amount. And now it goes from insane to, what would be my word for it? 2.1% more insane? Insanerer? Can we make up a word for that? More insane? Insanerer? Insanerer sounds, it's not ghetto, but it sounds like smarter, dumber. Because it's insanerer. Sticking it to the thousandaires in the name of energy conservation. Sort of like the whole water conservation thing. They tell us about conserving water, but all these golf courses are green. Yeah, that's water conservation right there. And speaking of water conservation, if you didn't know, your president, he's doing one more thing that is extra special of him. thinking of the Thousandaires in particular. He has come out and said that, you know what, there's some things that we had to repeal, Obama. And, you know, and he said, well, Obama did these awful things, and we're going to repeal them and replace them with something better. He says, I'm going to relieve the unnecessary regulatory burdens on American industry by reversing all of Obama's environmental rules. One rule that Trump in particular named, the clean water rule. Yeah, it's just clean water. This was the Obama administration's attempt at clarifying federal authority under the Clean Water Act. During the whole his campaign, he called the Clean Water Rule WOTUS, or unlawful and extreme, and promised to put an end to it altogether. On today, him and EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt, they signed an executive order to take out the Clean Water Rule. And Trump said, how big is this one? Huge, huge. So now, accordingly, they say it's not going to eliminate the waters of the United States rule. Instead, what he's doing is he's instructing the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers to review and reconsider it. Because, I mean, and here's the funny part. Clean water. I'm going to keep saying it. Clean water rule. You would think if there was anything you wouldn't touch, you wouldn't want to change, it would be the clean water rule. Like, you know what? People deserve clean water. We want to make sure that the water's clean. Nah. Mm-mm. Hell no. There's rules. And if we deregulate and let these companies operate so they can make a profit, well, if the water doesn't get clean and it's kind of dirty, we just send them water bottles like Flint. Because I'm a guess that if we're repealing the clean water rule, that would affect efforts in the future of helping keep the water clean. Not that that was working in certain areas in the United States, but damn, at least by law, you were required to make sure you were on point. Because if you were caught cheating, at least people could call you to task for it. So now, your Flint, Michigan can happen, but it doesn't matter whether or not you report it, because it's not illegal. They're going to deregulate it so that, hey, something happened, it just happened. Had nothing to do with us. You think that if you can't sue the police for violating your rights, you're probably not going to be able to sue administrative officials for violating your civil rights also. Because if you don't have access to clean water, that's sort of like a violation of your civil rights, right? You have the right to clean water. I mean, as taxpayers go, you think that you would have, you should have the opportunity to have clean water. Just saying. It's something that makes sense to me. Somebody else, maybe not so much, but to me, clean water, one of those things. It seems fundamental. Seems fundamental. But I guess to some, that just makes way too much sense. Way too much sense. I'm going on break again, because when I start making sense, I get thirsty. And the thirst is real out here. This is the homies out of Houston. I should just move to Houston and just hang out with the homies instead of just playing their music. This is HISD, Paper Bag Rap.
Paper bag wrap brown inside crown, a 800 gold can old to English slur. Drunk stumble over curb, albino, Thunderbird, cat, Lionel, pop spin vinyl. Dirty, they call them dusty, tears in the street, lips crusty. Ashy, shut the screen, damn your mom's name. Pants cut to the knees, strings dangle, double dust, ropes tangle. That nigga cold at football, y'all. Ice cream truck call, buy me something, you stingy. No change, ghetto sound bang. Hydrant flow, can't come in, quench thirst from water hole. Not yet hold, innocent, feet show, how she fast as hell in them samples, crooked pro, no edge, lights on, in-house, fried chicken, seasoned soft rice, buttered bread, man, that girl got a mayonnaise head, peanut butter bread, rocking them cats, what should I get, maybe a faded dress, or a glass eye, false colors, doing the rocks, in the addition, in the verbs, new kids on the block, sold by shorty bean, in the short-ass jeans, the biker short, tight pants, with the holes in the knees, and a thigh, spooky braids, three pork of the side, cool cups, grab bucks, freestyle. Say hi, go speak you and cheat. Man, I see you peek. This fight, street like skit and the gimpy. Quarter boy, jeans, so days, hand to the face. Paper bag, school, like this man, I'm loving these days.
Knocking tap, 10 of decks with the 360 waves. Follow my ocean Pacific, I know the flow is specific. The tidal waves in the water world. Next door to Astro Girl.
Can I
have your phone number tight? Being hot, summer, too thick, drop dead, like Fred. Savage through the years, I wonder with a pin in my ear, eye on the rear, at the right angle. Let me yes, yes, I can see that triangle from my side angle. The truth, the truth. Oops, I meant to say Adidas. But mama about the cape for second period. The sun caught the vapors. Now, beers mark the spot where I first kissed. Tastes like peppermint in the middle of a pickle with a slight twist. Watch, watch out of bling on my right wrist. It's in the left, give my man doubt. It's a paper bag.
Got that paper sack, aluminum chair wrap. At the lunch table, beatbox, you and your man rap. Get a job at the barbershop, you and your man rap. Razor blade. Paper fade, I'm precious, the ran rap, rap that salami sandwich in the brown paper sack. Plus the brown scuff mark, marks my corduroy knee patch. Look at the player in the last, system in the back. From me loaded, sitting extra low with the seat back. Bingo, bingo, my car Rico, without a nickel to my name. I'm a salty fool, yeah. My cool cup money, looking funny, kinda hungry. Pucker up for the Popeye's biscuit with the honey. Love that chicken from Kentucky, finger lickin' them. Peppermint popping out of that pickle, she kicking it. The sweet and the sour, got them lips looking different. Paper bag wrap, tear it up, cause they ripping it.
Together you guys move, drummer, smooth drummer.
Alright, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was the homie, HISD, Paper Bag Rap, because that's, I write all my raps on paper bags, and I spit hot fire, sometimes, nah, all the time. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And speaking of spitting hot fire, what you know about the judge who, down there in the, well, not down there, up there in Michigan, who, when the whatchamacallit, these degenerate scrub ass defendants was laughing. Judge Keanu Lillard, she kicked two people out of her room for laughing during a DUI sentencing on Friday. She heard giggles from the family of Amanda Kosal, who, according to the embassy affiliate, admitted she was drunk when she struck an SUV head-on, killing 31-year-old Jerome Zerker and severely injuring his fiancée, 31-year-old Brittany Johnson. Instead, she was sitting there laughing during the sentencing. So the judge, Keanu Lillard, was like, you know what? Nah, y'all got to go. She goes on to say, whoever can sit here at a tragic moment like this and laugh and smile when somebody has lost a family member? In the entire time that Mrs. Zerker's sister was speaking, that clown, and that's what I'm going to call him, a clown, was sitting there smiling and laughing. And you can go too, she said, pointing to Casal's mother. Because if you don't know how to act, you can go to jail. So leave. And so he gave him 93 days in jail. Yeah. She said, your disruptive and disrespectful behavior disrupted today's proceeding, and you, ma'am, are going to the Wayne County Jail for 93 days. Now, Amanda Kosal was sentenced to 3 to 15 years in prison for the drunk driving crash. Now, her mother appeared back in court and apologized, and her jail time was reduced to 1 day. But, I mean, one, the lesson was learned, I'm thinking. But also, it's a testimony to how sad and callous folks are nowadays, right? Where you killed somebody and y'all are laughing about it. Now, they say 3 to 15 years in prison. When somebody's laughing and giggling, shouldn't they just get to 15? I mean, drunk driving, killing somebody, you only get 15 years? Ain't that murder? I mean, ain't it murder? Am I the only one who thinks that if you're drunk driving and you crash and kill somebody, shouldn't you get a little bit longer? I know. Some folks may think, hey, I'm a little harsh. But I don't think I'm that harsh. You know, with all the Uber and Lyft and cabs and designated drivers that you can get out there to be driving severely buzzed and kill somebody and then have the gall to be laughing and giggling in court? I don't know. It is not a good look for me. I'm sorry. Especially in light of some other serious things that happened, like the House Republicans who voted en masse to block a resolution that would have forced Trump to turn his tax returns over to Congress. 229 House Republicans voted to keep Trump's tax return secret. Now, is it that big of a deal? Because I'm going to assume that he wasn't really paying taxes. He was getting over like most rich people get over. That would be my sneaking suspicion. I'm guessing you listening, you probably suspect that also. And it just goes to show you, millionaires vote for millionaires' best interests. They don't vote for thousandaires. They don't vote in thousandaires' best interests. They vote in millionaires' best interests. Case in point, it is in the president's best interest not to have his taxes revealed. So, they vote in unison. Nope. Now, the people who voted for him and them probably don't see it like that. Once again, it's pimping of the highest order, where the hoes don't see how Pimp Daddy is doing them wrong. And hey, one of these days, he gonna choose me. And I too am not gonna have to reveal my taxes. I mean, we think about it. We know as thousandaires that if you fool around with the IRS and you don't pay taxes, whatever, you go in jail. I mean they're garnishing whatever. They will garnish your bubblegum rationings if you was getting bubblegum rations. They would like cut them bad boys in half, like, hey, you only getting half your bubblegum. If they even let you get like a lick of the bazooka bubblegum paper. You got a little sugar on there, I can't get a lick. No, you can't even get a lick. I'm saying. Don't even have to show his taxes. The first president to do this. In the meantime, while we're talking about, we talked earlier about, not say we, like it was somebody else. I talked earlier about the government and them talking about policing and how they didn't want to limit the police. Well, U.S. General Wesley Clark was on MSNBC doing an interview, and he discussed what he felt needed to be done with radical individuals. Now, he's not talking about internment camps like what happened with Japanese Americans, but he was talking about political dissidents would need to be placed in a camp that would be separate from the rest of society. Now, in let me use his words. There are always a certain number of young people who are alienated. They don't get a job. They lost their girlfriend. Their family doesn't feel happy here, he says. While he is speaking in regards to mainly radical Muslims, his comments are aimed towards any radical individual. Radical meaning that you hold beliefs that are separate than the government or state. Now, basically, if you don't believe in screwing over people like the government and the state does, you are a radical. Well, shit, I already know I'm a radical. Because I don't believe in screwing over thousandaires. in the best interest of millionaires and billionaires. I mean, because he is very specific and clear when he says, any radical individuals. How do you measure what is a radical individual? Hell, y'all know. If you don't know, then you need to be practicing that iron crotch kung fu that I was referring to earlier until you kind of got it. Radical individuals is you and I. If you don't agree in being screwed over, you don't think being screwed over is the lick, you don't think having to pay taxes while people who make substantially more than you don't pay as much taxes as you. This is what it is. This is where we're at. You're a radical. You're a free radical that we are going to have to detain in a place separate from society. See, now, remember when everybody was asking, well, Gitmo, how come Obama never closed Gitmo? Denounced it at every waking turn. This place is no good. But he didn't close it. I know. I'm speaking that blasphemy. Beloved Obama. And I know people love Obama, whatnot, but I mean, you do understand that he serves a political agenda. Well, he carries out the agenda for the people in charge of the United States. That's what presidents do. And he never closed Gitmo. So, do you think that it's going to get closed? Hell to the no. They had plans for that place. Which is why it never got closed. It was never on the list of being considered to be closed. They talked about it. Nah, we just gonna leave it open. There's still people there. You don't know who. Don't know how long they've been there. And guess what? If you want to be free radical, your ass has a chance to go in there anonymously also. Funny how that goes. They will lock your ass up in a heartbeat. We'll talk about locking you up just because you disagree, which is the basic tenet of this country, as they say. But you know, that old Ice-T, freedom of speech. Just watch what you say. And on that note, I am Mr. F the N-word. I want to thank you all for listening. And I will check y'all on the other side. Once again, Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle, booth 108. Holla at your boy. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you've got
smooth
drama.